Daryl, what have you to add to the doorman piece, the outer doorman as well, even possibly even more critically, the inner doorman?
Well, I think that synchronicity has a lot to do with it.
Mm.
I find in my life when I do my best to operate on a level, on a frequency, or stay in a state of being, that at least as far as my outer doorman is concerned, represents, you know, my highest passion, my true self, then I find that that frequency allows the inner doorman, so to speak, to let out whatever it is I need to look at, whoever it is I need to look at that particular moment, to integrate, to deal with, to work with. So I think the outer and inner doorman work best together. The door swings both ways, so to speak, the best, when I make sure I stay in that frequency that represents my passion, my excitement, my true self.
I love the language, my relationship with synchronicity. You know, that there's a pattern. These, again, we're talking with I was saying to Barnett, these threads of possibility, you know, and what the offer is in them, what they carry with them. Either offer to go back and replay something we've maybe done a couple times, or something new that we have just a scent of, but enough of a scent where we can kind of hop on that ride, as it were, and then watch, because the game, at least in terms of how I've experienced it, is that, you know, other things will start clicking. In other words, it's like a ball that rolls downhill. The synchronicities will start piling up.
Absolutely.
And frequencies for me, the most exciting, the ones on the edge, the one that are, you know, maybe it's a very faint scent that I'm picking up, but that are going to carry me farthest, I rely on that. I mean, there's a sort of a faith or an understanding of it enough, mm-hmm. that I can let it take me somewhere and be changed by it.
Yeah, I agree, and I even think it's a little bit more than the issue of faith, because, like you said, if you have just enough understanding that this is actually how, let's use the word, the mechanism of existence works.
It's not a faith issue at all.
Right, you just know that that's what's going to happen, in the same way that you know that, you know, generally speaking, when you flip the light switch, the light will go on. It just does work that way, so you can rely on that.
So the frequency comes first. We're taking it from the more real into the illusion. The frequency first, and then it precipitates into what we experience as the waking dream, time, space, as a story, as a narrative, as events, but it's frequency first. I want to clarify some of this for myself and for our listeners. We're talking about frequency, and we're referring, of course, to energy states. And I would like, I'd like for you to unpack the energy conversation. What is it that we are referring to when we speak in this way about energy coming before the physical experience?
Well, we're talking about state of being. We're discussing from the perspective of the physical personality, the idea that it's composed in a sense of different components, the primary one of which being beliefs and definitions. How we define our reality is generally how we experience our reality, and our overall energy state, our overall state of being, is usually determined by what we believe most strongly to be true, whether that is a conscious belief or an unconscious belief doesn't much matter. It seems to be the determiner of the remainder of our personality components, which is our ability to feel emotion, our ability to think and behave and act in physical life, is all based on, all predicated on, first and foremost, what we have defined our reality and our relationship to reality to be. So state of being really determines the circumstances that we experience and gives us a chance to respond in a positive way or react in a negative way to those circumstances. And that response or reaction is usually based on something that we believe to be true, but also acts as a method of revealing to ourselves what we believe to be true based on how we either respond or react to the circumstance we've attracted with our state of being. So it's always a self sort of perpetuating, self-reflecting, self-expanding mechanism that always gives us an opportunity to determine and readjust what our beliefs and definitions happen to be. But state of being is what sort of brings that about first.
So we are more really, if I follow you, a quantum soup, a quantum packet of energy information in formation.
Yes, all
that we experience in this more densely compacted energy experience called life in the physical. We experience it as a physicality, as bodies and stuff and chairs and radio microphones. But more accurately, as we go down into the molecular states and the subatomic states, eventually there is the nothing states in between. We are more accurately vibratory experience.
Yeah, I think everything is resonance. Everything is consciousness and energy in vibration, and determined, the experience is determined by the particular pitch or frequency of that collective packet of energy. That is actually what the difference is between one thing and another. It's a difference in frequency, much in the same way, by analogy, that the difference between red light and blue light, since it's all made of electromagnetic energy, is only the frequency of that energy.
I love it. And again, going back to the idea that we're the doorman, as it were, we're shifting or modulating at the being state, at the energetic level, and then watching things line up vis-a-vis our ability to do that. Again, for me, you know, at some point, you guys nailed it, that at some point it was a leap of faith, and now it's more of understanding that as things are showing up, to the degree I'm really willing to look at them and recognize what's being expressed as a frequency, I have the ability to go, oh, shift the frequency. I mean, I used to in the past, at the level of that frequency, try to clean up all the
react to it,
all the stuff that was going on, and in some ways, you know, I could muddle through to where maybe I shifted frequency unbeknownst to me, or some leap of faith occurred and things started to clean up. But again, this level of the doorman, the observer, the ability to go, wow, okay, what's the frequency? And more important perhaps is shifting the frequency, so our state of being is going to start being reflected back in different experiences,
changing the pitch.
Changing the pitch.
And the key to changing that pitch is to discover and make conscious what the definition or belief is that's generating that particular frequency. Because only when you identify the actual definition that generates the frequency does it then become possible to change that definition and thus change the frequency.
So, Darryl, let's move the conversation to the end zone. So now we can expect some calls. And letters.
That's right. And comments.
There is a lot of enthusiasm around ideas of attraction and laws of attraction. And many of our friends are leaders in that conversation. And yet there really is nothing to attract because there's nothing outside of ourselves. It
right.
is more accurately, as we're talking now, as I'm understanding you, it is more accurately a recognition of the pitch that we are at as the culminating soup of a variety of elements, including belief, as you said, and thought and choice and decision and action and feeling. It is the self-managing of that in order from the inside out to change the pitch, to lift the pitch or to drop the pitch if we so wish. And that experience is really a signal to ourselves that we experience in this waking lucid dream.
I'm
so,
getting a signal.
So we're not really.
I'm getting a signal. I'm getting a signal.
We got to go for a break. when we
signal.
Come back from the break, we're going to pick this up and talk about whether we're really attracting or transmuting. But first, we are going to transmute to these words from our loyal sponsors.
Welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness, thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
Thank you so much for staying with us on Cutting Edge Consciousness. So, Darryl, back to you. We want you to unpack a little bit about this distinction about, is it really a matter of attracting anything from the outside to us, or is it more accurately a recognition of the pitch that we are operating on, and from the inside out transmuting our experience?
I believe the latter, mechanistically speaking, although the experience of attracting things is how we interpret the idea in physical reality.
Beautiful.
But manifestation isn't really the idea of attracting something from the outside to us that isn't here, because there really is no outside per se, even though we experience the idea as if there is. Manifestation is really shifting the frequency to the point where what is already here but invisible becomes visible to us suddenly, and thus appears before us to our senses, but didn't really come from anywhere. It's been here all along. We just didn't perceive it because we weren't on the same frequency level as it.
So we experience an outside currently, most of us do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We experience an inner and outer. We experience a duality. But it's clear that the direction of integration and the direction of the grand work of the moving of consciousness is the collapse of that, and that we begin to perceive and conceive of a veil dropping between the inner and the outer, that there is only one thing going on.
Yes, and I'd actually like to interject something else here on another level that in my channeling Bashar has talked about, and I'll use the word attract here just for a moment for convenience sake. But the whole idea of the law of attraction, again, isn't so much the idea of, it is true in a sense you have to be on a certain frequency to, quote-unquote, attract a certain thing. But I think what people also don't remember or don't realize is that we are always exhibiting or always radiating a core frequency. We may wrap it in other frequencies. We may disguise it. But we are always radiating that core frequency.
You mean like a signature frequency?
A signature vibration that is uniquely our true selves.
Mm-hmm. And that's called essence sometimes, right? The essence.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, you can call it by any number of things.
Right. I call it Freeman.
It's the same thing, yeah. But the idea really is that anything that is truly representative of that vibration, and I'm just going to speak about this sort of euphemistically, is already doing its best to try and get to us, to try and manifest.
Oh, that's so good.
If it doesn't manifest, it's because we're keeping it away with a contrary frequency. It's not so much that we have to be a frequency that attracts it. It's that we have to just relax into the frequency that's already commensurate with that manifestation. The only reason we're not experiencing it is because we have beliefs and definitions and frequencies that are actually keeping it at bay. And conversely, anything that is not our frequency, again, just sort of poetically speaking, is doing its best to try and get away from us. But the only reason the things that are not us stay around is because we hold on to them with beliefs. So it's not so much an issue of trying to attract or trying, in a sense, to push things away. It's an idea of letting in and letting go.
That's fantastic. And this element of determining the belief that's generating a particular experience. In other words, there is this way that we become very intimate with the frequencies that are, you know, habituated and or hand-me-downs. I mean, hand-me-down is a bit of a misnomer because they're ours. I mean, you know, however we got them, we signed up for it in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But my sense is the very frequency of that way of relating in and of itself generates something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, of course. It makes a difference. When you know it's possible to change a belief, that in and of itself makes it easier to change a belief.
Yes.
So at some point, the understanding of the prism by which we broke down our unity with the more of ourselves, the prism by which we splintered ourselves into an experience of separation for the sake of the experience.
Mm.
There comes a point when we are sufficiently we are aware enough of the mechanism that there is even more mileage and traction to be gained out of developing relationships with the higher frequencies, integrated frequencies of of the real self, the truer self. That is the joyride.
That's fascinating, because this goes back to what you said earlier, Daryl, which is the relationship with the synchronicities. Because otherwise, I mean, a lot of us get caught in this mechanistic, we understand it mechanistically, but
we like the cause
and effect
coming, trip.
Yeah, but if we're coming at it that way, that is a frequency, creates a whole nother game, as it were.
Yes. Yeah, every belief has a self-reinforcing frequency. So whatever you believe to be true, whatever you believe is possible or probable, brings with it more of that frequency, more probability, so to speak. If you believe things are less likely, then it brings that frequency and prevents you from even knowing that something else is possible.
And I'm talking really about softening the edges, which is, again, the frequency of the response. In simple terms, things like compassion. For me, compassion is an opening frequency. So to the degree I have compassion for something, it eases and it becomes, I think what you were saying, the easing in, then we're just playing with the synchronicities. We're like, oh, it becomes more fun. That's my sense.
Yes, absolutely.
It's pretty triggering when you start lining up one synchronicity, another coincidence, and then have one bang, 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 three, four in a day. It takes a very, very present. You have to be very present with yourself, I have to be very present with myself to handle that much joy and that much non-linear kinking in my love affair with the straight line.
Yeah, I think that's actually the bottom line for most people, is the question of how much ecstasy can you believe you can handle.
Wow.
You really are an ecstatic being. That's
natural. And we have a physical conditioning as well. We have so much biology and chemistry aligned to the experience of being separate from that ecstasy, that we don't have the neuronal connections. We don't have a glandular system, a nervous system that can take it. It has to be built up incrementally, ratios at a time. Is that right?
Usually, yes.
Usually. I like that. So except when, Daryl?
Yeah, right. Except when you allow for the possibility of the capability of instantaneous acceptance.
That's
allowance.
So great. That's great. So great, because it really speaks to the malleable nature of this. Like, you know, how powerful is the frequency of a belief? It is everything. So
it's ratios, unless it's a quantum shift.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. This goes back to what I was saying about mechanizing it, you know. I can speak personally, too, because that's actually when it's most applicable, is just my own capacities. So, you know, for people listening to the show, forgive me if I'm kind of a broken record, but I keep checking in about my capacity.
People listening to the show have never seen records.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I was going to say, that's a generational thing.
Sorry. But I'm working on a capacity for intimacy in relation with my wife. I've been working on it for years now, right? And I've been my own guinea pig, and we've sort of described 2 years ago during the New Year's show how Jazz and I were going about increasing our capacity for intimacy. And this year, we've gone to a kissing practice, which is testing me, because I'm topping out in a particular way.
He didn't mean that, Jazz.
No,
she's listening.
No, I do mean it, because she's aware of it. We're both aware of where we're hitting capacity,
edge.
Our
mm-hmm.
edge, as it were. But I love the idea. In an instant, we just changed the whole malleation, to talk about the neural structure, neuronal structure, and go with a different storyline or a different frequency. Like, it could pop in an instant just based on a shift or a click, is how I've experienced it in my own life.
Yes, and actually, I think the sort of interesting thing, the man behind the curtain in this whole concept for me, is that we are actually shifting instantaneously all the time.
Right.
It's just that we suddenly realize we are, and then we experience the fact that the shifts are always instantaneous. It doesn't always appear that way, because more often than not, based on our belief systems, the instantaneous shifts we're always creating just don't look that much different.
They're happening inside the bubble of our overarching story, so we're comfortable with it.
Yes, and so we don't create an appearance of that much of a change. We make it look like it's incremental, even though every single change is a total and complete change of everything.
Yeah,
I love that.
That's so good. Go ahead.
A great example of that, a really great example of that, is, I mean, in the old days when we used to run film at 24, 25 frames per second through a projector, it looked like a continuity, it looked like a continuous flow, but in fact, there were quantum shifts from frame to frame, 24 to 25 times a second, with and each frame was a discrete experience, and there was discontinuity in between.
Exactly.
We're doing that full time as a function of the frequency and amplitude of our signal.
Yes, billions of times per second. So quickly, so smoothly, we don't even realize.
Well, no wonder I'm frantic.
Barnett, he now knows. I love about this, too, is that technology as a mirror, because that's what it is mirroring these quantum shifts, because now we're like, huh, frames per second, like a record? What are you talking about, like a broken record? What's that mean? There's a whole way in which, you know, we can kind of, we can let go of something that really, as a paradigm, is no longer required, because this frequency that we're collectively experiencing doesn't include it. Like, that was great. We did that. The mechanized, the frames were important at one point, and the process and the processing of the film and all that, not required anymore. We're digital. We don't do that anymore.
Right.
Right? The technology's right. A mirror.
Everything is always a mirror of consciousness.
That's right. The trick, is to get past the mind loop that says we're separate from it, we're not a part of it, into the higher truth that we are both separate and connected and the same as it, and to begin to develop a practice of relationship with it. That's the trick. So, Daryl, you got any little pearls you want to throw out, little hints on how we might further develop the capacity, further develop that relationship?
Well, anytime anyone expresses any kind of creative endeavor that evokes a reflection of a higher frequency, I think you're doing your best to infuse that into society. You're sending out, you're spreading out that energy. You're creating that bubble, that atmosphere that gives people a chance to sort of reflect on that vibration themselves. I think that's what art is really all about, type whatsoever. It is a mirror that evokes a frequency that people can lock onto that also puts them in touch with more of who they truly are and allows them to then perhaps more easily shift in a way that is more reflective of their true selves and their creative expression.